and we're away. Welcome to Conversations with My Friends with me, your host, Aidan Drew. With me, the first guest, the none other than my brother.
Hello.
Niall. Thanks for coming on.
That's quite all right.
Much appreciated. Now, I am using your equipment, hence why you're the first one here.
Yeah.
You got your own podcast.
I do, yes.
Hence why we've got this set up. So just tell me a little bit about that.
It's a car-based comedy podcast. I cringe every time I say that because we're not comedians.
No.
We're not particularly funny. But we find each other funny, so we're having a laugh.
Mm-hmm.
No one else is laughing.
No.
But we enjoy it.
What's it called?
It's called the Lemonade Lifestyle Automotive Podcast.
Right, that's my debt owed. At least.
For a year, apparently.
So the idea is that I bring on various people onto the podcast to try and get a sense of topics of conversation, should I say. So you may find various different people coming on, talking about various different things. So it's not really, he says, not really kind of around one subject, like yours would be with the cars.
Yeah. Yours is more broad. Ours is very boring.
First thing I want to talk about.
Go on.
Queen.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the band or the woman?
The woman. I just thought I'd get an idea. What's your thoughts on it? She's dead.
It divides a lot of people, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But like to the extreme, that you know, that people crying their eyes out because she's died to people going, fucking, what's she ever done for me? Nothing. It's all right, mate. Calm down. I quite like the whole monarchy thing. I don't have a problem with
You're a royalist?
I guess the answer is yes. I'm not a royalist.
Yeah.
But I'm more a royalist than I'm not a royalist, if that makes sense.
See, I was a royalist, and I quite like having a royal family, and I quite like knowing the sort of, not the history, but the bloodline. I know that William's next, after him it's George, do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And then so on and so forth. But after she's died, I'm a bit like, oh, because you get so many people now that's on TikTok.
That's not a good source of information, though, is it?
They're now coming out going, oh, but the British Empire raped and pillaged everyone. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I mean, like, what can I...
Yeah, but the Nazis done a lot of bad things. We still go to Germany and drive Volkswagens. Do you know what I mean? I just don't think you can hold that against people.
Yeah, it's a but very... we're not celebrating Hitler's death, though, are we?
Well, we should be. No. But it's, I don't know. It's a tough one. I think the problem is they have a lot of money and a lot of jewels and can do whatever the fuck they want.
But they also bring in a lot of money as well.
They bring in a hell of a lot of money.
That's what people forget. They bring in a lot of tourism.
Yeah, massively.
Which comes with tax.
People who aren't from the UK, I mean, we've got a queen, she's on our money, it is what it is. But to other people, sorry, we had a queen, terribly sorry. We're used to all of that because that's just part and parcel of being British. But then foreigners... You know, they come over and it's just like, oh my God, Buckingham Palace, you know, this, that, and the other. And they're like obsessed with it.
Yeah.
They love stuff with the Queen on it. Whereas like, we got that, it's in my pocket, but every time I send a letter, there's a picture of one. I don't care.
Yeah.
But to them, it's amazing. And it does bring in a lot of tourism. And I like that tradition. It's a bit oldie-woldy, a bit weird.
Yeah.
But it's a nice tradition to have. I'd definitely rather have a monarchy than not have a monarchy.
Yeah.
If they put a vote out, which they won't, I'd definitely vote to keep it 100%.
Really?
Yeah, wouldn't you?
Apart from the tourism side of things, and I guess some laws.
But the thing is, like,
I don't really see the point of it. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, it doesn't affect you, though, does it? If they got rid of it, your life wouldn't be any better, would it?
Well, I don't know. They said that about Brexit. Now look at us.
Well, yeah, let's not get onto that one. again.
Yeah.
But yeah, they went, right, okay, we're getting rid of the monarchy now. We're turning. I don't know, what's it, Buckingham Palace into flats.
Mm-hmm. Student accommodation,
of course. And the money's just going to have like good British figures that have done stuff. But you go, okay, fair enough, yeah. Fuck the anarchy.
Yeah.
And then that would be it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wouldn't have...
I just think it's crazy.
We wouldn't see the money.
No.
Because, all right, they spend a lot. And they're not going to go, right, we're going to sell off all these jewels and your gas bill's going to come down now.
Yeah.
That ain't going to happen, is it?
No.
Gas bill's still going to stay the same, so is my fucking bastard electric at £1 million a day.
True.
So it's not going to have a positive effect if they got rid of it. But it is going to continue to have a positive effect if they stay,
yeah,
as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So they can stay.
Fair enough.
That's my vote.
I just think it's crazy that we're never in our lifetime, and not for generations, because of King, what will be King George, will never see a queen. Unless George has a kid at like 18. Like Queen Elizabeth the third? Second. No, it's Charles the third, isn't it? I just think it's
Charles
crazy.
Isn't a good king name. Have you heard about that? Everyone's very surprised he took on the Charles name, because the first one, I think he'd done the raping and pillaging you mentioned.
It was better than Henry, though, isn't it?
If you only know the eighth, yeah. The same as me. I don't know. I can't name. I can name the other seven.
I don't know what the other seven are about.
I can name
they behead their
easily.
Wives? I don't.
Let their wives keep their heads, he did. Henry the seventh.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently, yeah, Charles the first was a raper and a pillager. Charles the second.
It's all down by the name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone's like, no, I'm saying like, oh yeah, he's only a rape and pillager if he's called Charles.
But the thing is,
let's have another kid called Ted Bundy and see where that goes, shall we?
King Bundy.
King Bundy.
But they
Bundy.
Don't have to keep, they can choose their name when they become the king or queen.
Can they?
Yeah. So I think it was Queen Elizabeth II's dad, who was the last, before her.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was called, I don't know.
Edward, he was.
King Edward, was he?
I think so.
Because I don't think his name was actually... He was known like in the...
It's like when you Wikipedia someone, you're like, I didn't fucking know their name was that.
Yeah.
Like, what do they change it for?
Well, sometimes it's obvious why they changed it, because the name's like, I don't know, Darren Smith. And it's just like, it doesn't really work if you're...
Darren Smith?
Yeah, but not if you're a singer. Welcome to the stage, Darren Smith.
Please welcome to the stage. No, but I'm saying like, imagine if he just broke the sort of like, the chain.
Let me look into it. Can I Google on him?
Yeah, sure. But I'm just saying like, imagine if he just went out and said, you know what, I'm not going to be called Charles. Oh, okay, what are you going to be called then? Henry?
Yeah, that's what they can do.
What are you going to be called? Dave.
Yeah, maybe not Dave.
What, King Dave?
I think they have a choice. Why not? I think
that's done it.
Right, so predecessor George the Sixth.
This guy.
Yeah, here you go. So he was called. He was Albert.
Who?
Queen's dad. Who was the king before her.
Big Al. That'd be funny, wouldn't it? King Al?
King Al? King Albert? But he died. Sorry, he became king. And decided, well, I want to be called George. On the day he became the king.
Imagine that. Not only does he have to call me, like, the king, you have to call me George.
Yeah, but it's just weird. Imagine if Charles decided not to be called Charles. You'd be like, oh, you know, Charles and Camilla. George? Do you know what I mean? I just found it so weird. I know, oh, he's decided to stick with Charles.
Coronation, they're like, his name is George. It's that League of Gentlemen reference, isn't it? Fair enough.
Oh, very good.
Good insight. Fair enough. So keep the monarchy then.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm all right. For it.
Fair enough. Then. So what the subject I want to get on with you, mainly because I don't actually know and I haven't really asked much, probably because I've grown up with you for the last 28 years of my life.
Yes.
You are, and I've got to get this right, a door supervisor.
Correct terminology.
Also known as a bouncer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or a doorman.
How long have you been doing that for?
I've been in the industry for 15 years.
Industry being security. Right?
The security industry. I've been in the security industry for 15 years. I've been a quote-unquote door supervisor, doorman, bouncer for 14 years.
14 years. Nearly half your adult life.
Yeah. I makes you feel old.
Yeah.
So put it this way. I got my first job in security when I was 17.
Yeah.
You cannot work in security unless you have a security license, which you can't get until you're 18. So I was working unlicensed from the age of when I was
illegally.
17. Illegally. Illegally at the age of 17.
What's the company?
The bloke's dead now anyway.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, bloke who run it, yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
And then when I turned 18, I got my security license and started doing door work. And yeah, I've been doing it ever since.
14 years then.
14 years.
Perfect. So you say you've been doing it since you were 17. What made you want to start going into that industry at 17?
I got into the industry really by accident. I knew I was always well built.
Yeah.
Growing up, you know, tall, broad,
handsome,
fat, handsome. I mean, you know, so I had all that sort of thing. And a lot of people would say, well, you know, you should be a bouncer, size of you. And I was like, yeah, I'm 16, mate, go away. So it's kind of on the cards. It was kind of something that, you know, was a maybe or an option anyway. But I knew you had to have a license and stuff and probably never would have got round to it.
Yeah.
But I was out of work when I was 17 and my dad's girlfriend was a cleaner for a guy who ran his own security company.
Right.
I didn't have a job. He was looking for a security guard very nearby.
When you say my dad, you can also say our dad.
Sorry, our dad. I'm telling the story from my perspective, that's why.
Just by the way, that's our dad.
So, our dad's then girlfriend, yeah, she was a cleaner for a guy who owned a security company.
Right.
And he just got a contract doing what we call static security, so it's like asset protection, really. So if you don't want something to get broken into and robbed, you get security to just sit there and make sure no one robs it.
Fair enough.
And, yeah, it was around the corner from my house. He needed guys straight away, was desperate for guys, and yeah, I just landed that job, and that was my in.
That was it.
Complete accident, yeah. It's not something I sought out to do. I didn't think, right, I want to do this. How do I do it? It just sort of happened, really.
And what made you then go from the static side of things to just thinking, I want to stand outside in the piss wet cold, stopping drunkards from getting in and out?
Well, I think, like I said, it was always on my radar to do doors. It was always a potential.
Why? Can I ask why? That does not appeal to me. And I'm a regular who goes out. I've had my fair share of nights out. I just couldn't think of anything worse. Well, maybe sort of road sweeper or something like that. But
sorry if there's any road sweepers listening.
There won't be.
Well, they just sit in a lorry on the wrong side. That's all they do. You mean actual physical
labouring.
I think it's because a lot of people find the job interesting. It's an unknown to a lot of people. People see us all the time, door staff. I mean, when they go out, they see door staff, they speak to door staff and they ask for their ID.
Yeah.
They sort of see them sort of stood there, blah, blah, blah. But no one really knows what we do,
right?
What we've seen, you know, what we have to go through, that side of the job.
Yeah.
So to a lot of people, because it's the unknown, they're very interested in it. And we do have stories to tell, so people want to hear the stories.
And that's what interested you?
It was more the fact of just like, I knew it would be an interesting job.
Yeah.
That, you know, you say you stand in a piss wet cold, keeping piss heads out. You know, you're in a nightclub, a bar, a pub. It's a very social environment.
Yeah.
You're in a position of authority, so that, you know, there's that side to it. And I think purely because of my size,
yeah,
it just felt natural. Like, if I was, you know, 4'11" and scrawny as fuck...
You get them.
You do, yeah. tell me about it. but that's... Yeah, it just sort of seemed natural. It seemed possible, at least.
Yeah.
And because it was sort of on my radar and people were saying, oh, you know, you'd be good at that, you should do that. It just sort of became a thing to me, I guess. I think that's what a lot of it was.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, the license was the big sort of stopping point. If I hadn't got that initial security job, I honestly don't think I would have ended up on the doors at all. I wouldn't have gone through the license. I would have said, oh, yeah, I'd like to do that. Like everyone does.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How do I do it then, mate? I'm like, go away. You're not going to do it. Just leave me alone.
Yeah, yeah.
I just would have been one of them.
You won't remember this conversation. There's no point.
Yeah, that's it. You're not going to do it, mate.
Type in SIA in Google and the thing's already purple. You're like, I don't think I clicked this before.
It's like Last Feud. Last night. What was that for, Hick? So... I then, because I was in the industry already, turned 18, kind of did need a license, got my license sorted, and I was like, well, there's no more hurdles for me now.
Yeah.
And I had mates that had worked the doors, I knew people that had worked the doors, and again, it just sort of naturally became a thing where, so, you know, when are you going to start the doors then? Now you've got your badge. I don't want to be all like, work the doors, mate. Nah. Do you know what I mean? It was just sort of, again.
You had to do it.
Yeah, I guess so. I had to for them and for me in a weird sort of way.
So talk us through then, what is the process for getting the license? Is it sort of like background checks? Is it sort of like having a crash course on mixed martial arts? Or is it literally just listen to this bloke who talks about health and safety and away you go?
Yeah, the last one.
Oh.
It's changed a lot since I done it, because I said it was 14 years ago.
So what did you do then?
14 years ago, it was a four-day course. It was health and safety. It was fire extinguishers.
What?
Yeah, like, what does this colour fire extinguisher mean?
Well, don't fucking know. We'll be outside.
Yeah, I know.
Assembly point. I'm going to be here.
Fires are hot. Yeah. I knew. It's like 999 is the colour I'll be ringing.
Yeah, exactly.
there was a lot of that. And then at the end, you'd done a test on what you'd sort of learned. the easiest test in the world as well.
It's like, what should you do if someone's in your face? Should you punch
them? No, not even that. What's it's that? You know, again, an electrical fire breaks out. What colour? It's like, well, you use a powder one because you can't use water on an electrical fire. It was like multiple choice.
Yeah.
And it was all health and safety based questions on what we'd learned and fire extinguisher stuff. None of it was geared towards the actual reality of the job.
Right.
Which was the physical side of it, the verbal side of it, the body language side of it, everything. It was all to do with health and safety and fires and what to do with this, which is good because you could potentially be working in a venue that's got 1,000 people in it.
Yeah.
So if the shit hits the fan, you're going to want to know what's happening.
Yeah.
And how to handle it. But there's a lot more chance of some bloke being in your face calling you a fat ginger cunt than there is going to be a fire.
Not me. Well,
not for you, not, no.
Other people. Fair enough.
So, yeah. Over the years, they've introduced more and more. So when I first done it, like I said, just a 4-day course. And you could do a physical intervention course as well. Pay extra for it. Didn't have to do it.
Yeah.
After so many years, they then brought that in as mandatory. You had to do it as part of your training. So as a new licensee, your training would be the 4 days I done and the physical intervention.
Right.
If you already had a license, when it came around to renewal time, you had to do the extra bit.
Yeah.
And again, they've just recently added a bit in. So just added first aid, which is very important, very handy. Right. Can't believe it's taken this long to become part of the training.
Well, that wasn't in the original.
No, then. None of it. Again, what we've got to deal with, you'd think, how to miss a punch, how to throw a punch, and how to
slip.
And how to do some first aid.
Boxing fans out there.
But we got, and the other one is sort of like terrorist stuff, which basically...
Terrorist?
I know, that's what I was like, really? But
like in Manchester Arena.
But this, exactly that.
Right, okay.
That is what brought it in. When the whole Ariana Grande thing happened in Manchester, a lot of the blame was put on the security staff.
Mm.
So...
Rightly or wrongly, in your opinion?
Well, I've got to say rightly to a point, because that's what we're there for. But we're not trained or paid to a standard that allows us to deal with that level of issue.
Yeah.
So, for example, one of the things that was like a big thing at the time when the trial was going on was there was a young security guard, 18, 19, 20, and I think from memory now, you know, don't quote me on any of this, but the guy who lit the bomb off, everything else, he turned up looking basically... I'm going to be very vague here, but dodgy as fuck with a massive rucksack on.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, you know, this had happened, that had happened. And it was at that point, it was obvious that this guy should have gone over and said, excuse me, sir, like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
And they said, why didn't you? And he was worried he would come across as racist.
Yeah, I would have thought that, maybe racial profiling or something.
Yeah, so that's what he was worried about. As a young buck, 19 years old, didn't want to say something out of turn and potentially lose his job.
Yeah.
Instead, a lot of people lost their lives, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, there's definitely not enough. Yeah, the security to blame to an extent, because that's what we're there for.
Yeah.
And we're also not to blame an extent of the industry is on its ass.
Right.
It's a big, big thing within the industry of how much on its ass it is.
Why? Why is it on its ass?
So, the kind of people... Basically, it boils down to money. Unfortunately.
Right.
It's a big thing that people bleat on about all the bloody time. Now, here's an example, and this is what I say to a lot of people. This is why the industry struggles like it does.
Right.
In 1995, national minimum wage was £2.50 an hour.
Not bad.
Not bad. Around less than that.
Jeez, Blair.
So £2.50 an hour. If you worked as a doorman in a club, you would earn £10 an hour.
Mm.
You'd earn 4 times the national minimum wage to stand there, give up your weekends, have people spit at you, kick you, try and fight you, and for you to be treated like you're the bad guy.
Unlicensed?
This at the back then was unlicensed, yeah.
Okay, so you could do whatever the...
It wasn't so much you could do what you wanted, but that's not the point. But yeah, there was no limits, basically.
Okay.
I mean, the police would still get involved, don't get me wrong. It wasn't the Wild West.
Yeah.
But there wasn't... We've got the police and licensing to deal with. Back then, it just had the police to deal with.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you'd earn 4 times the minimum wage. In today's money, That'd be £40 an hour.
Not bad.
Now, you say you can't think of anything worse.
Yeah.
Would you stand on a door for £40 an hour? If I said to you, look, I've got a shift on Saturday night, I'm really desperate, it's £40 an hour, would you do it? It's a five-hour shift. So
it's one of those, isn't it? Because you kind of think, like in my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, I probably would. But to be stabbed and spat at for 40
quid. Yeah, that don't happen every shift.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's a bit of a gamble, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's like,
well, not really.
I could have an easy 40 quid here. I could be punching kids left.
Well,
right,
I've had this issue before.
Taking health bars off them every 2 seconds.
I've been hurt a few times over the years and stuff. And it's the same with anything. People say to me, oh, you know, here's an actual story. I was working a venue. It was the last venue I worked at, so you'll know it as Ococo in Taunton. Any local listeners will know it. And me and a colleague, we ejected a guy for fighting, opened the fire doors.
That means to throw him out. That's not like you press a button and he goes through the ceiling.
Oh, if only. God, that'd be so good.
Ejected him out.
Kicked him out, threw him out, whatever. Yeah. So we threw him out, fire doors open, you take a couple of steps out, you give him a good shove to get them away from you.
So he's still standing at this point.
Oh yeah, he's
not
like
carried him out,
beat and bloodied or anything like that.
Yeah,
he was sort of like, well, yeah, what the fuck are you gonna do? Yeah, right, mate, whatever.
Yeah,
we've got an arm each because he can't hurt us.
Yeah,
you open the fire doors, you take a couple of steps out, you give him a good shove away to buy you time to get back into the venue and shut the doors.
Yeah,
because all they do is either punch you in the back of the head,
yeah,
or just keep ripping open the fire door that you're trying to close.
Yeah,
doesn't end well. So we done that, no problem. His mate was then inside in a sort of like staff only area that we eject people out of.
Yeah.
Going, oh, fucking no, I didn't even do anything wrong. And I was like, look, mate, you've got two choices. You can either go with your friend or you go back inside and enjoy the rest of your night. What do you want to do? Oh, yeah, but it's just a fucking piss take. He didn't even do anything. I said, listen, if you go with your friend or you go back inside, that's your two choices. What are you doing? Last chance, what's happening? Oh, yeah, but right, okay, you go with your friend then. So same story, arm each, walked him out. As we took a step outside to create the space, his friend, the first guy we kicked out, obviously must have heard us coming, hid against the wall, fire doors flew open, he come up behind me, bang, whacked me in the back of the head. I went down, naturally.
Pussy. And
yeah, let's try it out on you, see how you get on now, live on this podcast. I went down, pussy, and they just proceeded to just kick fuck out of me whilst I was down on the floor.
What did your mate do?
Run away.
We went back inside, shut the door. Sorry, Nye. Wild West.
I didn't even do that. He ran off in the opposite direction, which I thought was weird.
It was a kebabby.
Possibly.
It's a bit shit, isn't it?
Oh, very shit, yeah. So I was...
Unforgivable kind of shit?
Again, you know, this...
Where were you?
Yeah, where were you? Well, he was a lovely bloke, but he went to sort of university in London, and this was just his way of earning money. He wasn't a fighter, he wasn't hard. Yeah. You know, he had there was jobs he could do, there was roles he could do.
Yeah.
He was polite to people, he could talk to people, he could talk people down.
Yeah.
You know, he was great like that, but physically, he basically shit himself. He lost his bottle. I don't think he'd ever been in that physical position.
Yeah.
So it's fight or flight. And his natural reaction was flight. He's fucking done a runner.
Went home.
And, yeah, I was in a bad way. It wasn't bad. There was no broken bones. It wasn't bad. But I did have a really bad concussion, and I had to go to hospital. And my girlfriend at the time, her mum worked in the hospital that I was in.
Yeah.
And I had to have an MRI scan, and there was a lot of concern because it was quite a bad head injury I suffered. And
did you hit the head on the deck as you went down?
Well, it's a combination of because I'm quite tall, so quite far to go down.
Yeah.
So it was the initial whack. Hitting the deck and then kicks, punches, whatever. I had a great big lump on the front of my head.
I remember the photo.
Horrible, yeah. The picture comes up every now and again.
About January? For some reason, I think January this year.
I think it's the beginning of the year, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
But yeah, hell of a lump and sort of all this horrible red marking and that on my face. And yeah, so she came out once I'd been given the all clear and sort of give me a bit of her mind. She was never keen on me doing the doors anyway.
Right.
And yeah, she gave me a piece of her mind, and she said, how much do you earn How much do you earn? How much you earn tonight? I said,
oh, fucking, I just had to shit kick down.
Like, you know what I mean? Day it is. What fucking money I earn.
Yeah.
I don't even know who you are. Who's a strange...
How much money you earn? Is that like the sort of concussion questions yeah. that you ask? You know, when yeah. they take players back.
Where are you? What's yeah. your name? What's how much score? Money do you earn?
You're know, like trying to desperately take it in. Like, is this the test or am I getting a grill in here?
You said I was free to go. I seem to be in question still. Who's a strange man? Yeah, what?
Ah, the free to go is the trick. He's still concussed, so he must come back in.
Anyway, so, yes, I was, I don't know, about 60 quid. Is this really worth it for 60 quid? You know, you getting hurt like this for 60 pounds? I said, well, it doesn't happen every shift. I said, it happens about once a year, and I earn about £7,000 a year doing this, so is yeah. it worth it for £7,000? Yes, it is. Turned out not to be the right answer. But that's, A, that's how I justify it, maybe, I don't yeah, know. And fine. The other thing is, you know, you could, you know, you, for example, you could get your head kicked in doing anything. You know, there's road rage. There's, you know, there's anything.
Yeah.
I went to get a bottle of, get a drink the other night, a bottle of water. Admittedly, it was the end of my shift, so it was like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And there was some, like, big Eastern European bloke arguing with the man in the shop. And I was just like, it's through
four
the,
in the morning, mate.
It's through the night pay thing. And I thought, oh, I just want a drink, bud. I don't want this crap. And all it would have taken was for him to turn on me.
Yeah.
And it's like, ah. Oh. And again, here's another story, if that's what you want. I say I've done 14 years on the door.
Yeah.
I've had breaks for various reasons, which yeah. I'm sure we'll get on to later.
We're going
to
come on to that.
And I was on one of my breaks, sabbaticals, yeah. whatever you want to call it. And I had a cold at the time.
Yeah.
As I normally do. And, yeah, it was around Christmas time. And I worked for our dad.
Yeah.
And he said, because it was just me and him, so we didn't have a Christmas do or anything.
This is not for static security. This is when you went on to do the...
Sorry, yeah, this was my day job. Fair enough. So yeah. I worked for my dad as my day job, and we were on an industrial estate, and it was all very small businesses.
Yeah.
So what they used to do for their sort of Christmas do
yeah.
was they'd all get together and go to the pub.
Yeah, they do that a lot now.
And Dad said, oh, you know, we're going to go up to the pub, fancy. I said, yeah, I'll be up for that. And I was rough as fuck and just, yeah, not feeling it at all. So I said to Dad, I said, listen, I'm going to give it a miss because I'm really rough. He was like, you want to do me a lift home then? I was like, oh. I was like, yeah, fine, I'll do a lift home. And I thought, well, I've not done myself any favours because I still would get out at 12 o'clock. But anyway, I turned up. Dad was still, you know, still had 3/4 of a pint left.
I remember this. This is in the halfway...
Halfway house in Willand,
yeah. Halfway house in Willand. Yeah, okay, go
And Dad
on.
Said, time for another one, night, time for another one. I said, yeah, go on then. And because they were all sat, all boxed in,
yeah.
they'd all have to get like out.
At the bar, isn't it? No,
they were all sat down. So basically, they were sat in a corner, but it was one of those ones where, like, my dad was in the middle.
In the corner,
so everyone would have to get up to let him out. So I said, I'll get it. What do you want? Do you want this? Yeah, a pint of that? Yeah, all right, no worries. I stood at the bar thinking, I just want to be in bed. What am I even doing here? And there was a member of the travelling community who was at the bar.
Do's your likey.
Yeah. And he was, basically what he was doing was ordering a drink. Like,
at a bar?
Oddly enough, yeah.
Right.
Oh, rum and coke, please. He put it down, him and his mate, they'd drink it, then he'd order another drink, drink it. So rather
like
than
just down it?
Basically, yeah. Right. But like rather than, or even once he put that down, they would sort of, I know, yeah, good health and all that sort of shit.
Yeah.
Have a bit of it, then order another one.
Right.
And there was a guy stood next to me who was with the same party that Dad was with.
Yeah.
And he just said, because the barman was only dealing with this member of the travelling community. Do as you likey. So he just said, he didn't know if the barman knew he was waiting or whatever, and he just said, oh, you know, whenever you're ready, bud. Like, even if you want to serve me in between his fucking 12 drinks he's ordered individually or something. Do you know what I mean? That's what he was sort of getting at. And the do as you likey got real funny, as they do.
Yeah.
Got a bit like, hang on, fucking hell, mate. I'm only ordering a fucking drink. And the bloke was like, all right, okay, no worries. Because he was soft, normal. Yeah. What I'd call a normal person, not the sort of person who goes scrapping every weekend.
Yeah.
And Dad come out the toilet, all sort of chirpy. And sort of, you know, all right, I said, yeah. And then with that, the do as you like, you give it the, well, if you want to fucking make something of it. And my dad knew both parties. He knew the do as you like and the guy who just wanted to order his drink.
Yeah.
So Dad being Dad, oh, no, he's all right. He's all right. He's with me. Don't you worry about him. And the do as you like turned and shoved Dad. Now I just... Red rag to a bull. It was both sort of the doorman kicked in and the protective, oi, that's my dad, sort of kicked in. So I stepped in between the two of them, shoved the do as you like-y. Big bloke mind.
Really?
Big. I mean, I'm big. But I know I'm not the biggest. Perfectly aware I'm not the biggest. And size don't mean shit, but...
Tarmac or scrap metal dealer type big?
Yeah, both.
All right,
both like, then. Just... Like, taller than me, just big.
Yeah.
And I shoved him. And he just stared at me.
He thought...
And then, there was just this sort of pause. I thought, fuck. And,
brace.
And then... He tried. He took his top off and come on, I'll fucking fight you. I'll fucking fight you. And I was like, mate, I said, I don't want to fight. So he shoved my dad. What the fuck? And then he just sort of stared at me again, sort of paused and just put the nut in.
No way.
Tried to headbutt me. I saw it coming, as you do.
Yeah.
I went
sober.
Back. Yeah, sober as well.
Yeah.
And not thick. Saw it coming. Went back to avoid it. Because I went back, the trajectory sort of changed, and he caught me in the mouth.
Yeah.
Split my lip. And dad was like, I think then dad realised, okay, this is going to turn into something. Right, come on, let's just fucking go. Let's just get out of it. No, come on. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
And we left. And dad was furious, you know, angry. He was, you know, he felt bad for me and everything else. And but that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I got nutted by a fucking great big, you know, do as you like-y.
Yeah.
Just going to pick my dad up from the pub around Christmas time.
Yeah.
Ill with a cold.
I think with that, it's very easy. And I heard the story and I was... What was I, 18, 19?
Well, yeah, I thought so.
Round about that. I remember because I, and that's the thing that I think about when I think about door supervising in the sense of like you get a lot of, so I, as a bit of a side story, I do like watching some of like the night coppers and the emergency 999 stuff and half the stuff that the police have to deal with, I think to myself, oh, I couldn't, and as I think most people do, I go, I couldn't handle that. I'd flip my lid. I'd fucking hit him. And I think, in actual fact, I would probably do this. You got to split second weigh up the options of, if I dap him, all hell could break loose.
Oh,
and that's
God,
not the end of it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? He quite clearly knows dad.
Yeah.
Probably knows where he works. And you know, as the do as you like his work, it won't just end there.
Well, yeah. Using the do as you like his as an example, they call it a lifelong commitment.
Yeah.
Taking them on.
Yeah.
And it just ain't worth it. Because they won't drop it as well.
No, exactly.
And they'll just keep going.
Because you have to fight his cousin and his cousin.
Oh, yeah.
Same person.
And the people that aren't do as you like his,
they
like to pretend they're do as you like his, act like they're do as you like his, you've got to deal with them. And they're the worst. Because they just talk about it and do nothing.
Yeah. So I think, do you get a lot, you must get it a lot where you go, quad of it him. And you go, you wouldn't have.
Well, because of my position now, so I should probably explain. I own a security company. We specialise in door staff.
Yeah.
So I was a...
Do you want to plug it or are we...
Castle Keep Security.
Castle Keep Security if your security needs.
Southwest, west, west, west.
Ring Niall on 01.
Dial Niall.
So Silent Nile.
I went from being your run-of-the-mill, ordinary doorman, as it were.
Yeah.
Then I became the head doorman of a bar in town. I've got a busy late-night venue.
Yeah.
And then, in turn, the head doorman of a large nightclub, nearly 1,000-capacity nightclub.
Yeah.
The 1,000-capacity nightclub is a club I've worked in for 9 years.
Right.
The only reason I became... head doorman of the bar before was because of COVID and the club wasn't open, blah, blah, blah. And then I took on the company that had the contracts for the venues I've worked in.
Right.
So how I deal with things now is completely different because I see the big, big picture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
Paperwork, you mean?
The paperwork, the potential loss of license, that sort of thing, the police kind of thing. And with my position, I need to be setting an example.
Yeah.
And I do like to set a professional example. I don't like the thuggy image.
Right.
I bollock. So for example, at the nightclub, you've got our steps, then you've got pavement, then you've got road.
Yeah.
Some of our guys, for some reason, to look up and down the street, will stand on the pavement. And they're so caught up in their world, and this is sort of my place, my venue, that, you know, they make them, but people have to step off the pavement to walk around them.
Yeah.
And I'll always say, get off the pavement.
Yeah.
Get out of the way. Be polite.
Yeah.
People often look at us like we're thugs, we're assholes, we're meatheads, we're this, that, the other.
Yeah.
I do try and have tried personally and professionally to remove that.
Yeah.
I move off the pavement. I'm very polite, blah, blah, blah. But also, you know, we can get onto it whenever you like, but I've had these breaks.
Yeah.
So I've learned the hard way.
Yeah.
A very, very, very satisfying smack in the mouth you give someone.
Yeah.
It's very satisfying for that second.
Yeah.
Immediately after, you think, oh, fuck. Well, the police could get involved.
Yeah.
SIA.
Yeah.
The licensing people could get involved. I could be suspended. Fuck, you know, I told myself I wouldn't rely on this money, but shit, I actually think, yeah, I'm screwed. I've just signed up to that thing a monthly.
Yeah.
And the only reason I signed up to it is because, oh, I've got this much coming in on the door. Fuck.
Yeah.
And I enjoy this piss. And then all this goes through your mind. Most of the time it comes to nothing, and other times it does. Sometimes, you know what I mean? There's levels to it.
Yeah.
And also, with me, my patients are famous. I've got a lot.
I've got a lot of patience. But like, so in terms of like going back to what you said about you kind of you're stepping now into more of a, shall I say, a professional role.
Mm-hmm.
I do find on the nights that I've been out that I feel that the door staff are a representative of the club.
Yeah,
now
I'd
if
agree
your
with
door
that.
Staff are dickheads.
Yeah.
Now it's quite easy to sit here sober and talk about them being the dickheads. 9 times out of 10 it's the punters, probably me being the dickhead. You know, and you just get some, and it, and I don't want to slag off the police, but you do get some bad coppers out there
who
strut around giving it,
oh absolutely,
can I have your ID please, and it's like, well hang on a minute, I'm coming into your club who are paying your wages, so don't just toss
don't
me
say
to
that.
Ones
yeah don't no, say okay. that. All right. But no, you PTSD. Are right, you are right,
and then when they're being rude, I wouldn't go back to that club purely based on, I don't care if you got titties on the bar or do you know what I mean? 2-for-1 on cocktails or cocky teas, whatever it may be. I'm not coming in because, you know, you've got Tyson out the front with a...
Well, wannabe Tyson. Tyson
wannabe,
from Wish.
Wannabe Tyson.
See, this is... This face, is
being rude.
The venue I work at, I work at all of them technically, but the one that I'm the head doorman of that is our, you know, my, as a company, is my biggest venue. I might as well say it's the Palace. It's called the Palace. Don't need to say where it is, but it's called the Palace.
Called the Palace.
And the reputation of that place about 10 years ago was bad.
Right.
Really bad. With
what
door staff.
That? Oh, just door staff.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit of a dive bar. I mean, it's not a horrible place. It's a nice place to go. It's not, you know, all singing, all dancing. It's a very nice venue with an incredible sound system, incredible lighting system, cheap drinks, and a generally very good atmosphere.
Yeah.
But yeah, 10 years ago, real bad issues with door staff. And half the reason I started there 9 years ago was part of the cleanup operation of getting out the old Wild West draw, you know, those kind of door staff.
Right.
And getting in a new breed of door staff that do things properly, quote unquote.
21st century.
Yes, because there is a big divide between, there's old school and there's new school.
Yeah.
The job has changed dramatically. In the 15 years I've been doing it, it is a lot more, you know, we're there to be welcoming and we're there to ensure people have a good time. We're not purely there to stop fights.
Yeah.
We're there to make sure people have a good time and they feel safe.
And put out fires.
And then, yeah, do that as well. what was your initial question? What was I getting to?
About having that sort of like, that image of going into a nightclub.
Yeah. Now, this doesn't make their behaviour okay by bad door staff, I mean. Now, you know, you're a bit older now, but in your heyday, how often would you say you went out on the piss?
I would say quite a lot, because I got mates that beer Friday and Saturday, but I play rugby, so I'd go out quite a lot.
3 times a week?
No.
Not that much?
No. When I was at college.
On average.
College 10 years ago, I would go Monday Cocos. Shout out Cocos. R.I.P.
It's not there anymore. No, R.I.P.
Yeah. So Monday Cocos, potentially Saturday. But then it depended on... So I'd say heyday, probably looking at 23, 24. I would probably say twice a month.
Twice a month?
Well, in 4 weeks. You've only got 4 weekends, didn't you? So half of that.
So you wouldn't go out... You've never been out like every weekend for...
No.
Really? Even
well,
I don't.
It's expensive now, isn't it?
Now. We're talking 10 years ago, though.
No.
When I was 18, I used to go out every weekend. Well, every Saturday. Let's use your example then. I don't think of you as someone who doesn't go out. I think of you as someone who's social. When you do go out, you like a drink, blah, blah, blah. So let's just use you as an example.
Yeah.
In your HED, as you called it, you went out on average twice a month, yeah?
Yeah, about that.
So once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
As an average, yeah. So on average, in 2 weeks, you'll go out once.
Yeah.
Me, as an example, because using you as an example, using me as an example, I work 5 nights a week.
Right.
A week.
So you're going out. You're technically going out 5 times a night.
I'm going out. Well, I'm doing my job 10 times in 2 weeks to every one of yours every 2 weeks. Okay. Yeah. So you come up and you fuck around with your idea or you make a stupid joke. That's your first time out in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, so you fucking around, da da da, and then you're treated bad. They're rude to you, and you think, "Fuck it, I'm only having a joke." You remember, I've been doing that 10 nights.
Yeah.
And on a Saturday, people say, "Oh, don't you recognise me?" And I say the same thing every time. I see 1,000 faces on one Saturday night alone. So I'm sorry if I don't remember you.
Yeah.
So I've had 1,000 people come up on one Saturday night.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, in that 2 week average, that's 2 Saturday nights. That's 2,000 people. If half of them make a stupid joke or are rude or fuck around, it all builds up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And that doesn't make it okay because that's our job.
Yeah.
You know, we're not always going to be pitch perfect. We're not always going to be the politest, nicest people because we've all got our own personal issues and we've all got dickheads to deal with.
Uh-huh.
But that's what people need to understand is they don't come out very often, but we do that shit week in, week out. And there's a lot of idiots out there. And there's been times when I've reacted to something badly, be it someone's sort of done something, and I've just flipped. Not physically, but I've just gone, do you know what? Every fucking week you do this fucking mirror. And people might go, Jesus Christ, that didn't take much, did it?
Steroids.
Yeah.
Roid rage.
Yeah. Oh no, look at his belly. But it's like, on the outside looking in, that was like a complete overreaction. I'm the biggest dickhead going.
Yeah.
What they don't see is the shit I've just had to deal with, all the crap that's even happened just that night. It could be that week, it could be that night. So Sunday night, for example, I thought I was going to be dead because of, you know, the Queen RIP.
Yeah.
Mental busy.
Fan of the monarchy?
I don't know. I'll keep it, let's keep it. But, yeah, and I, because the weather was nice, I think a lot of people have been day drinking.
Yeah.
A lot of people were drunk, a lot of people were idiots. And... we had an incident, we had to kick some guy out. One of my guys got jumped, got slide, hit from behind by a guy. I'll show you the video later. And a bloke took a running, jumping punch at him.
Blimey.
And he's like, he's one of my guys. I take it very personally. It affects me to an extent. And so I had all this going on, and we were trying to deal with that. I was getting a bit, not stressed, but you know, shit was happening, and come on. Broke our fire doors at the back, which is where everyone leaves. So then we had to bolt them, and we had to send people out the front. It was all this, you know, logistical nightmare I had to deal with, plus all the dickheads. So in that moment, you do something. I try to get past you, and you don't move, and I sort of get, move out of the way, and you go, and someone was, you know, is to say, "Oh, you fucking dickhead." That's enough to make me, fuck you. I'm not in the mood for your shit right now. Normally, I'd be like, sorry, mate, I was just trying to get by. And I'll explain, terribly sorry, mate. You know, I didn't mean it to be so rude.
Yeah.
But in that instance, it's bang, flip. Yeah,
I don't need you as well.
Yeah, I got enough to deal with. You're the straw.
Yeah.
Here's the camel's back. Broken.
So, what I want to get on from the... Let's go take it back a little bit. When it comes to getting your license...
Yep.
You must... See, now we've talked about some of the dickheads that we deal with, be it your customers.
Yeah.
You must get some dickheads that just got their license. And I asked this because before I came here, I was in Sainsbury's. And I won't say where. They might listen. No, they won't. And it was this, and I'm not prejudiced. I'm not the one to say that you have to be big and bold and have muscles and have tattoos to be a security guard. But please don't be... a weeny, scrawny, like medium shirt wearing, like kid, and I'm 28 gonna
describe inch it, waist.
Shops at Top Man, but like this kid, and he was behind a security desk in Tesco, Sainsbury's, and I thought, you've just got your license in here. You feel really proud, and I'm not, and I tell you this now, I do play rugby for my sins. So that pent up aggression, I get
for your sin bins.
For my sin bins, very good. I do get out on the field. So I wouldn't class myself as a violent person. I'm not one to kind of be like, I could take you on. But there is something that crosses your mind where you kind of think, you wouldn't do shit if I
If I didn't
off.
Want to pay for this,
yeah.
There's not a lot you're going to be able to do about that.
And that's the thing. And I'll tell you about a story that we had down at the rugby club, talking about do as you likeies. So they obviously, what had happened is they'd come down onto the rugby pitch, pitched up.
Well, the Dujulakis, you mean?
Dujulakis came down in their caravans or whatever, and not to come play rugby, to come and live. And we had to get, I say we, the club had to get some security in. And basically what had happened is that the club manager turned around to all of these security firms and said, can you do security? Have you got any guys that could? What they wanted to do is basically guard the clubhouse. They, you know, ruin the pitches, that can grow back. But what they didn't want to do is for them to start attacking the clubhouse. That's money. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So they said, look, can you just come down and guard it? Every security bloke was like, yeah, I can come do it. What's the issue? Oh, we've had some Dujulakis turn up.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello? And that was it. Every security guard was just like, I'm not getting involved for obvious reasons. And this guy turned up. Right. And I can only describe him as McLovin. Right.
Millhouse,
right? And we're not, the guys that were there at the time, we're not big, you know, rugby players. We're like a, you know, quite a decent team. Anyway, some of the lads will be listening to this, so I can't say too much. But yeah, we're quite a good team. So anyway,
you get by.
We get by physically and kind of tactically. So, you know, he wasn't met with rugby a lot, but even we sort of turned around and was like, mate, you've got to be joking. You must have just got out of college yesterday and just completed your license today. And I tell you what, and it was like, we were like, it sounds horrible, but we were subtly taking a piss, like behind his back.
We were
taking photos of him, sending it to the group chat.
I know because you sent them to me.
Yeah, and I was saying when you order a security guard off a Wish, and it was just, and I just thought to myself, we're doomed. We're fucked. We're like, what are you gonna do if they start breaking in?
The problem is, I think it stings a little bit when the bloke who's turned up to protect you lot and the building is smaller than you lot.
Yeah,
it's like.
And it was, even to the point, right? So we went outside and a few of the lads were smoking cigarettes. I wasn't, mum and dad. And I was watching him, and even the way he held his cigarette, I thought, you don't smoke. I could even tell you don't. Nothing. Just like, but couldn't even get it right, the length on his finger. It was down by his knuckle. Next minute, it was up by the tip of his finger. And I'm like, give it up, mate. You know what I mean? You're trying now.
You're not fooling anyone.
Yeah. And he had that, as you saw the photo that I sent you, he had that.
Tact vest.
Is that what it's called?
Tactical vest.
So anybody that doesn't want a tactical vest is, well, you explain it. You know,
it's a vest that's tactical.
Okay,
it's a vest that basically has all
high vis
handcuffs,
pockets. Taser.
You got all the pockets and, you know, four your tools, as it were. Big security thing on the back, basically for your license to go, and it basically makes you look like a fucking, well, it makes you look like a copper,
right? Yeah,
but
yeah.
Not quite.
Yeah,
a copper if you sort of squint. Do you know what I mean?
Like, it says polite on the back, you know, the horse ride.
Oh shit!
Oh no!
Shit! Oh. Yeah, and you just look at. I mean, in the industry, like as a, yeah, just no,
no,
no.
So if anyone's listening, fancy being a door supervisor, don't rock up with one of those.
Don't get a tack vest. No.
All right.
I don't judge books by its covers. Blah blah. Blah.
But I'll judge you if you got.
But you turn on a tack vest. I'm going to say, I'm just going to instantly go, oh, that's a shame. And then
no, we're full.
If I like you,
said you were desperate earlier. You needed me to come down here. No, we're fully.
You said you had to close if you didn't have enough door staff. I'm like locking the door. Yeah, I know, mate. I know. With you here, we still don't have enough, though. Even though we would. Yeah, I mean, if I liked you, it turned out you were a good doorman, and I'd take you to one side and say, listen, mate, I'm not here to tell you what to wear and wear what you want, but can you stop wearing that because you look a brick.
You had to tell someone that, didn't you?
I have told someone that, yeah.
What did he say?
Oh, no, it's fine. I didn't realize I wasn't allowed to wear it. I said, you are allowed to wear it. I said, but I just, yeah, no. I'm sorry, but no.
He just stared at you, lads. He's like ripping a Velcro off, like, I guess I'll take it off. Just
slowly unzipped it, like, oh, yeah. Sorry.
Mum, have you got that receipt? Mum, so I'm allowed to wear it. Amazon.
But then you say all of that. I said the same about stab vest. If anyone wore a stab vest, I'd be like, fucking hey, Baghdad, it's Bridgewater, calm down.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And now I've got a stab vest. So,
right. Yesterday.
Yeah.
Is it heavy?
Why is that the first question you ask?
Well, no, like, I don't know, really.
Why have you got a stab vest? Why? What's happened? Is the knife going bad in there? Are you okay? Fucking hell, you're my brother. I love you. Be careful. Is it heavy?
I know. I could just imagine it was a bit of equipment that just weighs you down. And you
it's
just
heavy,
think, like, yeah,
yeah,
and I'm sweating underneath this. Does anyone ask the cues? Anyone got a knife? I want to take this off.
Cut me out of it,
but
please.
The only thing is with a stab vest, you're only protected from the front. It's not like a whole, like, juggernaut suit. I mean, I could just do you in a kidney, couldn't I? I just can't stab you in the gut.
You can't do it in a kidney because it's front and back. But there's no side. And it's only supposed to come down to your navel, down to your belly button. Because that's where all your main organs are. Because yeah, my attitude and a lot of people was, well,
stab you in the head.
Well, yeah, stab you in the head then. It's like, yeah, but...
Like a Dumb and Dumber. Remember that scene at the end when he gets shot and he's like, and then he straps his bulletproof vest on me. And he's like, and Lloyd's like, what if he shot you in the face? He's like, yeah, what if he shot me in the face? And he's like, well, that's a risk we're willing to take.
It is just like that, yeah. But some protection is better than no protection.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And I wear what they call, it's, you've got covert and extrovert something. So basically under your shirt or over your shirt.
Yeah.
And I went under the shirt because I didn't want to look like an idiot.
Yeah,
You know, Millhouse.
Yeah.
And also...
Just on a shirt that's like Stormzy on Glastonbury. That was a stab-proof vest, you know?
Was it really?
It was. That was a sign to say knife crime stuff. Made by Banksy. Carry on.
Anyway. And also, they say if you're wearing an extrovert one, so one on the outside,
yeah,
they'll look at you and go, well, there's no point me stabbing him in the guts. Yeah. He's got that on. I'll stab him in the head.
Yeah.
So if they don't know you're wearing it,
yeah,
they go, yeah, what? Whereas... If they see it, they go, we'll just fucking stab you in the ear then. So.
Look at Van Gogh over there. Fair enough. So, yeah, you get a lot of... So have you had to deal with firsthand then that sort of like just rocked up, just got your license? Like that mate, you that fight or flight.
Yeah.
You know, he just buggered off and you're like, well done. How am I going to know that I can trust you?
Well, I've dealt with...
Because you got to trust you. You got to trust your colleagues.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I mean, the best part of the job... Genuinely, and a lot of guys will say this, is the camaraderie, is that team unit.
Yeah.
Knowing that you're working with guys, you know, because we're not all mates necessarily, we're colleagues that get on well.
Yeah.
And you know what it's like, you know, there's people that you work with, you get on well, there's people, you can't necessarily choose who you work with.
Yeah.
And, yeah, to be standing shoulder to shoulder with guys that you know would take quite a beating, a stabbing, anything over you is a hell of a feeling. And it works both ways. You know, there's been times when my colleagues have been hurt and I wish it was me.
Really?
100%, 100%. I'd rather it was me. Because
What, as head doorman? But as in, or just like a...
In general, even back years ago when I'd done the doors.
Yeah.
I'd always rather it was me. The reason because I used to be quite casual shifts-wise back when I first started. When I was 18, 19... I didn't work every single shift. I worked most weeks, but I didn't necessarily work all of the shifts. There's 3 shifts available every week in the venue that I worked at. Some weeks I'd just go, oh, yeah, I'm only available Saturday, or I'm only available Friday because I fancy doing something else on Saturday, whatever.
Yeah.
And what changed for me from going from casual to I want and need to be there every shift, and it's a pressure I put on myself, is because one New Year's Eve, now... Back when I was in, back when I was with my ex, well, the golden rule in security is you either work, especially on the doors, you either work Christmas Eve or you work New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Now, to me, this is my thinking. Christmas Eve, nothing happens Christmas Eve. Christmas Day is the big one.
What? What, people boot off?
No. In life. Christmas Eve ain't nothing, is it? It's just the day before Christmas.
You're talking about opening presents. I thought you were talking about stabbing people.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
well,
people wait
until
Christmas Day to kick off.
Is your present heavy? What I mean is, in life, not security-wise, but in life, Christmas Eve's just Christmas Eve, isn't it? It's the day before Christmas. Some people still work it, or it's the day spent wrapping presents, whatever. Christmas Day is the booty, innit? Yeah?
Yeah.
New Year's Eve, booty.
Let me guess. New Year's Day.
New Year's Day, hungover, roast dinner, maybe, again. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So... But I don't want to work New Year's Eve. That's the fucking one that I want to... I don't want to be at work.
Right.
Christmas Eve, what's that? Nothing.
Yeah.
I'll work that one then.
Yeah.
And also, back then...
Side note, I've known girls to do the walk of shame on Christmas Day.
Oh, go home, dope. Yeah. Your fucking parents, your grandparents, cum dripping at you.
Oh,
don't know how clean you wanted this to be, but we've set the bar now.
That's it now.
Yeah, so, and also, I didn't want to see, for sentimental reasons, I'd never wanted to see the New Year in at work. I do now.
Yeah.
But back then, I didn't. You know, it was a fresh start. It was a big thing for me. I always just make quite a big thing out of New Year. And I didn't want to see it in at work. It just felt wrong.
Right.
Anyway, so, New Year's Eve, had it off, went out, got drunk, da-da. The venue I worked at, one of the guys from the doorman had his ankle broken, ejecting somebody. Couldn't work his day job, couldn't work the doors. You know, what a way to see in the new year.
Yeah, right.
Fucking broken ankle, great. And...
The sofa.
Yeah, with your leg up. and I questioned, would I have been able to do anything? Would it have been different if I was there? What could I have done if I was there? Would it have happened if I was there? All these sort of things. And basically from that point forward, I worked every possible shift. Because I didn't want to
get your ankle broken.
Luckily I didn't. Statistically I should have. But I just, I didn't want any of the guys to get hurt, and I didn't want to question if I should be there or not, or if, you know, what if...
Because I've seen it a lot when it comes to any family due that we have, and I noticed that, well, like, you know, any weekend we try and organise, Niall's working. Can't do it, working a door. And for me, I'm like, just don't do it. Don't put your name down.
Nah.
But you always come back with that, well, it will leave, A, them short, and B, judging by the names, not naming, I don't know any names, but judging by the names, it doesn't look like a good group of door supervisors. So if I'm in there, at least it balances that out.
It's not that they're not any good. It's just that, you know, that sounds dramatic, but the team needs me. The team is... I'm not the best doorman ever. I'm not going to, you know, do any of that stuff. But the team is instantly weakened if I'm not there, because I'm the leader for a start. And I know what I'm doing. I've been doing the job for a long time.
Yeah.
I will get stuck in. I do know the limits. I do know what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah.
Without me there, the team's instantly weakened. It can survive without me, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, here's another example. So Wednesday nights, we open on for a student night, we call it. Well, it is a student night. And it's difficult to get people to work because it's midweek and most of them have got day jobs. And now, nah, my
algorithm... So just quickly, what is a shift? Just to...
What, hours? Clarify. Do you mean?
Yeah.
10 till 3.
10 at night till 3 in the morning?
Yeah.
But so is that including pack down, pack up? Or is it literally soon as you're done?
That's where we're open. So the doors open at 10. We kick out at 3. People, you know, ideally get there just before 10. And we're out of there by like 3:30.
All right.
So if you've got work at 7 in the morning,
because
it's midweek, you don't want to be leaving at 3:30 in the morning.
No.
So it's really difficult to get the guys to do it. It's easier these days, but this is back when I'm talking about. And basically, because it was so difficult, it was me and a guy called Darren, who's a fantastic doorman, and it was a team of 6. So you'd have me and Darren, good, experienced door staff, and it'd be me, Darren, and 4 idiots.
Right.
Now, I, at the time, had a day job, and working that shift, it killed me. Absolutely shattered the next day, killed me for the week, was horrible. And because I lived so far away from the venue, for my own reasons... the amount of fuel, it's a 70 mile round trip, and it really, really was not worth me doing the shift financially and personally. The only reason I'd done it was because if I didn't do it, rather than it being me, Darren, and 4 idiots, it would have been Darren and 5 idiots. And I didn't want to do that to Darren.
Fair enough.
And that's just how it works.
By the way, in Darren's eyes, it still was
Dan. Oh, yeah, that is me and 5 idiots, as far as I'm concerned, when I was there.
I was like, don't you and I.
But, like, for example, a couple of quick stories. Time check, where are we at?
57 minutes, we're all right.
That's all right. So, a couple of quick little stories. Worked in... So this was, like, post-COVID, when there was, like, table service and all that sort of jazz.
I did that for a bit.
Yeah, I remember.
Only once.
But the nightclub wasn't open, because just... Why would it be? And what was the... The last stop before the club became the last stop of the night. So very busy venue. It was the only late night venue in town. We had a license till 3 in the morning. And a lot of issues. And like, just for example, I was working with a guy called Victor. Big kickboxing champion, Russian motherfucker.
I was gonna say, he's got to be Russian, sure.
Looked like
Victor.
Yeah, Victor. And he looked like, I tell you who he looked like. He was the spitting image of the bloke from the Hitman games.
Agent 47.
Agent 47, yeah, honestly, a spit of him. I'll try and find a picture after.
That's it.
Just bold. Bold and big, that's it.
Did he wear a suit with a red tie?
Yeah, no. I really wanted him in a red tie, though. But yeah, he was suited. Big, but he just looked like him.
Right.
And
I was expecting...
And he had a barcode on the back of his head. No, he didn't really.
You know, like on... Have you ever seen... Well, yeah, Rock and Roller.
Yeah.
You know when... is it Jared Butler when he's running away from those two fucking Russians and they just won't leave him alone?
Honestly,
and
he's
one of them's massive.
Yeah, he's like that. And I remember there was a guy, I can't remember if he was kicked out or wasn't allowed in or refused, whatever, but he was giving us a load of shit. And I was the head doorman, and because Victor had a military background, so he understood authority.
Spetsnaz.
And things like that. I mean, bearing in mind, he was 10 times the bloke I was. You know, he was hard as fucking nails.
Really?
Like, hard as nails. Older than me as well. But because of his military background and the job and everything else, he answered to me.
Yeah.
Like, I remember there was one time a guy was kicking off. And I was thinking, don't, mate. I thought you're kicking on, you know, starting on the wrong bloke here.
What, he's kicking off to Victor?
To Victor, yeah.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And I was like, please, like, for your sake, I was thinking, just don't, because you've really picked the wrong guy. Yeah,
well, instantly, you should have seen that.
Well, this is it. People are thick, though, mate. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Especially when they're, drunk. They're thick anyway. The alcohol don't help.
Bridgewater.
And Victor was sort of stood there, and he was taking all of his shit, but his eyes, he just kept darting over to me. Darting over to me.
Where were you stood?
In his eye line.
Okay.
Nearby.
2 o'clock. 11 o'clock.
10 o'clock, so I'm behind the guy, so okay. If it was to go, I could come up behind him. And his eyes just kept darting to me. And he sort of raised his eyebrows, and I just shook my head.
Yeah.
And afterwards, a bloke walked off, and he said, why won't you let me hit him? I said, you do what the fuck you want. Yeah. I'm not going to stop you. He said, I kept looking at you. I wanted the nod. And if I'd given him the, yeah, he'd have done it.
He'd just let go the
but
leash.
He wouldn't have done it without that, and he didn't. And I thought he was going to. So anyway, back to this other thing. We were stood. This guy was giving a shit, and I, you know, he was spitting, and he wasn't spitting at me. He was spitting at the ground in front of me.
Right.
And he was like, "Come on, then, what the fuck are you gonna do?" And I was, people talk a lot about doing stuff and fighting, and they're gonna do this. I'm gonna put you in the ground. I'm gonna knock you out. There's a lot of talking that happens. Very rarely does any doing happen. Okay, that's what I've learned.
Yeah.
Now, there's subtle things. So there's times when you're toe-to-toe with someone. But I don't mean squaring up. I mean in the vicinity. You're in each other's personal space for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, once they're out that personal space, they've got a lot to say.
Yeah.
And they're talkers. Because they had the chance and they didn't take it.
Yeah.
So now they're going to do is stand there and talk about it in front of everyone, make themselves look hard.
Yeah.
And then walk away. So this guy had the opportunity to do something. We stood there giving a shit, spitting. And He spat at me and a bit landed on me. Now, that is one of my triggers. Not a lot of triggers.
I hate that. Honestly, I just think it's the most derogative, rudest, disrespectful thing.
Yeah, totally.
Anybody could ever do.
And it's one of the, probably the...
I don't even like it when they spit and I walk past them and I could just... And I just think, why have you done that?
I don't even like the people spitting on the floor.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, I just think,
spitting on the floor. And I'm like... Why?
Yeah.
You're in the same bracket as the people that play music out of their phone when they walk past you.
Oh, my God. Or people with Bluetooth speakers walking along. It's loud.
And I'm like, I always go, are you going to answer that? Yeah. Your ringtone?
You're such a dad thing, isn't it? Not our dad, just an old person thing. Your phone's ringing.
Oh, you ripped your jeans. No, it's designed like this. Fuck off.
Anyway, so this bit's a bit land on me, and it's my one and only trigger, and it's the only thing that makes you basically see red.
Yeah.
And I step forward to do it. And very quickly, I snapped out of it, and I stepped back again. And he basically got dragged away by his mate. And I was watching back the CCTV, and I noticed again, because Victor was to my left, out of my eye line.
Yeah.
I knew he was there.
Yeah.
And I knew he was going to be there.
Yeah.
Watching back the CCTV on my phone, and I could just see Victor was just constantly looking at me to see what I was doing.
Really?
And then as I stepped forward, he stepped forward.
Really?
And as I stepped back and snapped out of it, he stepped back and was sort of looking at me. And he would have done anything to protect me.
I just imagine this sort of like fucking bull mastiff.
Yeah.
Just at the moment go on, boy.
The joke is, they're on a leash. On a leash, that's what we say.
Yeah.
I've got a guy now, Paddy, he's a terrific fighter. Irish, Northern Irish guy, Paddy.
Well, they're named like Paddy.
Yeah, funny enough. He's actually called Patrick as well. But and yeah, he's the same. He won't do nothing and, well, he's a bit more uncontrollable than Victor was.
When you're by the door, do they come and sit next to you? Is that what you just got a little bag of treats and you just down. Go?
they like, sit there, no, it's weird.
They help you.
But again, another incident, a guy, he was way too pissed and he threw a punch at me, which I dodged. And for whatever reason, I just was not in a fucking mood that night. I threw one back, landed, and the guy's work with Jack, fantastic doorman, great guy, immediately... Boom, straight in front of me.
Yeah.
And would not just to protect me.
Yeah.
And like I said, you working with those guys and working with a good team and guys who understand the job,
you feel safer.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing is, there's nothing worse. I've gone into situations before and I've been on my own.
Yeah.
Or I've been with guys that don't have it. And I'm thinking, guys are doing stuff, and I'm thinking, right, you need to go, but yeah. There's fucking three of you, and I'm on my own. I'm thinking, come on, guys, where are you?
You don't have the confidence.
It's a horrible feeling.
So the next question is going to be then, so I think what one of the most biggest misconception is that a lot of people think that door supervisors can't touch you.
Yeah, no, we can.
What is the legalities and your remit, should I say, to what...
We don't hold any...
Because I don't think the law goes in your hand, and we'll go into that when we come onto your sabbatical that we went...
Sabbaticals, should I say.
Plural. So, in a sense of like, does the law favour the bouncer... Sorry. Does the...
Fucking hell.
I have to edit that. Does the law favour the door supervisor?
Door staff. Doorman, door staff.
Door person.
Door staff.
Really? I'm going to go there.
It's 2022, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Door supervisor's too formal, okay. Bouncer's too informal.
Right.
That's why I like doorman.
Doorman. Yeah. Right, so door person. So does the law favour the doorman, or does it favour the punter?
Legally, we don't hold any special powers over Joe Public. Just because of door supervisors, doorman, whatever.
You can't detain them, you can citizens arrest them.
I can do no more than what you could do as a civilian. The only real difference is we are trained professionals that are sober.
Yeah.
You're a pissed up dickhead.
Yeah.
Generally how it goes. That's the only thing that favours us.
Yeah.
Now that works in our favour. What also works against us is the reputation of door staff.
Yeah.
Bouncers.
Yeah.
And sometimes, more so these days, there's been a big shift mentally. When I first started, I was on the tail end of the Wild West. You know, the people just do, you know, hit first, think later sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I found back then the police were against us.
Yeah.
We're thuggy door staff. They must have fucking done it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
These days, because of the generation shift, you know, the younger guys are becoming police officers now. Let's say you get into the police at 25. You started drinking 7 years ago. So you started drinking in 2015. In 2015, you were well into the whole licensed thing, the whole, the way, you know, the new door staff, as I say, you know, the new school.
Yeah.
So they see it as, oh, they're protectors, they're good guys, they're this, so we're treated better now.
Yeah.
But you do still have the stigma of, well, they're just a bunch of thuggy doormen.
Mm-hmm.
So it can go one way or the other. Oh, that fucking doorman just beat me up. The copper either thinks, well, yeah, you're a pissed up twat. That's probably been annoying them. That's why.
Yeah.
Or... it's, well, yeah, of course he did. He's a doorman.
Yeah.
Let's arrest him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the two sides. But outside of the trained professional versus a drunk person, that's the only advantage we have. It all boils down to, I mean, obviously self-defense and also what we do, and the same as what you would do on the streets as a civilian,
yeah,
is the force you use has to be reasonable. It has to be proportionate and it has to be necessary.
So if I punched you in the face, you couldn't leather the fuck out of me and kick me and spit at me. And...
yeah, absolutely. I can, you know, smack you to the ground, knock you out, kick you whilst you're down, because that's not an eye for an eye kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and you don't even have to hit me first if you're in my space. As long as I can justify it, that's the way, that's what I tell myself and I tell my guys. As long as you can justify what you're doing, that's fine.
So bottom line is, they can punch you. Doorman.
A lot of people, that's the thing.
A lot of people, like, what I think you're going to say is, a lot of people think that you can't do anything because I'm protected, and that's assault if you were to hit me. And it's like, well, hang on a minute. Technically, what you're doing is common assault by shouting at me.
We get that a lot, where people push and push and push, and they push thinking we can't do anything.
Yeah.
Which is the most cowardly thing ever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And people even say, go on and hit me. You can't hit me. You'll lose your badge. Yeah. What are you doing then? What are you achieving? Nothing.
No.
So this isn't a fair fight. You're not, you know, not good.
So I think on the subject of losing badges.
Yeah.
I think we can come on to.
Yeah. We can.
How many times? So quick fire question. How many times have you lost your badge?
I've never lost my badge.
Okay.
I've had my badge suspended once.
Yeah.
And another time I was put on bail by the police and my bail conditions were no door work.
Right.
So technically I've been suspended from doing the job twice just by two different means.
All right. Let's talk about the first incident, should I say.
Okay.
Of when you had your sabbatical. How long ago was it?
Oh, Christ. It would have been 2014, 2015, something like that.
Okay. And what, in a nutshell, we'll get into it, in a nutshell, I'm obviously going to be one-sided this story.
No, not necessarily.
What happened?
Well, I mean, I can see both sides of the coin. As a person, I've always been the type to see both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
Now, you are just hearing my side of the version of events, admittedly.
History is written by the winners.
Exactly. I'm not sure if I was a winner or not. I was working the back door. So people come in the front.
Morning.
Hello.
Yeah.
People come in the front. They enter the front. They leave out the back.
No way.
Oh, straight up.
This is news to me.
I mean, what I mean is you don't leave out the same door as you come in. Do you know what I mean? We don't walk in your house through the front door, then when you leave out your back door, do you?
Okay.
Yeah, see? Don't you write over.
I live in a flat. Go on. Yeah.
So I was working the back door and I went up to the front for something. I can't remember what it was. To get a drink. I don't know. And one of my colleagues, Jordan, he was kicking a guy out. I had no idea why. So I went ahead and just opened the front door for Jordan to help him out. He launched Matey Boy out. I then went to shut the door. Matey Boy like stuck his foot in it. They tried to stop the door.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't fucking do anything. I said, look, man, it's got nothing to do with me, but you need to move so I can shut the door. No, I did. I said, mate, move out the way. I need to shut the door. So I pushed him back out of the way because he basically wouldn't ask, do, tell. No. What? Ask, tell, do. That's it.
Head dominant.
So you ask, very professional work. So you ask them, you tell them, and then they do it.
Yeah.
Be it they do it themselves or you make them do it.
Yeah.
So pushed him away from the door. Called me fat ginger gun. No. Yes, I do. And I said, yeah, tell me one I haven't heard before.
Yeah.
Shut the door, done. I then walked myself back down to the back door. Most local people that come out regularly know that's where people leave.
Right.
They know that door's always being opened. It's a good way.
Pick up the stragglers.
Try and get back in again, basically. Because again, I don't know where your mind goes. No, the front door very rarely gets
previous
reopened.
Previous times.
Very rarely gets
there's
reopened
one.
Again.
She's vulnerable.
The front door rarely gets opened. The back door is always being opened. So it's a good chance for them to try and talk their way back in or at least confront a doorman.
That's where the person is, where you don't have to get where the person isn't, where you have to give your money over to get in.
Exactly.
I'm with you.
It was more the fact that he'd been kicked out and just wanted to get back in.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I opened up the door to let somebody out the back. Matey Boy stood there. He comes charging over. Oh, you fucking cunt. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I just pushed him back, shut the door.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to keep the story short, that went on for about 2 hours.
Two hours. 2 hours. Sometimes, he stood out there. He's probably sobered up by this point.
Well, this is it. And this is the thing.
I'm going to try one more. You wait until he opens that door. You wait. He's gonna fucking change his mind. I'm going to go back in there.
This time it's going to happen.
This time it will. You watch. Oh, here we come.
Next time. Definitely next time. So,
people gone home now.
People get bored. People sober up. People get hungry. Okay? So they stand there. They're chopped off for ages. They don't get the result they want. Oh, fuck it, we're going.
Yeah.
Or, John, come on, let's go. We're going back to Matey Boy's house. Oh, yeah, let's go back to Matey Boy's house. What was my issue here again? I can't remember. Done. So, but in the 2 hours, what he also done was leave, I should say.
He went off.
Went off. Oh, yeah. Thank God he's got bored.
Yeah.
Then he came back.
As a side note, you can see him still on CCTV.
Yeah, so I've got the camera that shows the back door, what's going on.
So you kind
of
like, oh, fucking okay.
Saw him walk off. Oh, thank God for that.
Yeah.
Then he come back.
Right.
Never happens.
No.
Because they get bored, like I said. They get bored, they sober up, they get hungry, whatever. Well, the missus goes, where are you? Oh, I'm at the back, this dorm and this. Oh, all right, I'll come home.
Yeah.
So he was obviously, this is what my mind told me. He's annoyed enough to still come back. Because normally once you've left, you're over it, aren't you?
Yeah, you forget
drunk
about
or sober,
it. Yeah.
You're over it.
Yeah.
You've got other things going on. He was mad enough to come back. And I wondered, what's he got in between him leaving and coming back?
Kebab.
Or a knife.
Weapon.
Or a weapon.
Sorry, my mind's gone.
How heavy is the kebab? So anyway, I sort of...
Because now you've got intentions. I mean, as if you didn't the first time.
There was
now
enough
it's
intent
a bit of a personal
to begin with,
grudge.
Yeah, but now there's another level of intent.
Yeah.
Most people are drunk and dickheads. not everyone is a psychopath.
Yeah.
You know, enough to do something really bad.
Yeah.
He'll try and throw hands or whatever.
Yeah.
But then there's the people that they'll go and get a blade. Do you know what I mean? It's that's more often than not, it's the first one. They'll just throw hands and go home.
Yeah.
Every now and again, you deal with someone who will go and get a blade. And I wondered, is that what I'm dealing with here?
Yeah.
Anyway, same shit carried on for another half hour, hour, whatever, of him just... He would either come up to me, come on then, I'm going to fucking do you, or he'd stay back against the railings. Yeah.
The thing that makes me laugh is he's not talking to his mates and then going, fucking, there he is. He's there just looking at the door.
That's what I mean. But then again, this is the thought process. And when you start to dissect it like that, you start to think, you know, he's not...
That bloke's a fucking nutter.
Yeah, he's not having a laugh with his mates, thinking, fucking, there, we'll get him. He's there on his own.
Yeah.
Cold.
Yeah.
Bored.
Hungry.
Hungry.
Tired.
Just to give me a piece of his mind or to do whatever. Yeah. And this is what you need to start questioning. This is what we start to wonder.
Yeah.
Like I said, we get a lot of it and they get bored very quickly, actually.
Yeah.
And when they don't get bored, you think, actually, maybe this bloke means it. Maybe out of the 99 people that have got bored and left, maybe he's the one in 100 that will stick it in me, literally. A knife, I mean, it was penis. I knew you were thinking
Gutted.
It. Hang on, I need to send a message. Oh, sorry.
Fuck, he's on his phone. Just talk amongst yourselves.
Sorry.
It's a podcast.
It's work related, so I can't exactly ignore it.
What would you do for a job? So, all right, let's. So, okay, we've got the guys in
Hang
tent.
On. Oh, you give a backstory still.
Well, as if they haven't heard. Got the guys in tent. He's obviously not going away. He has gone away. He's now come back. You're obviously still working the door. What time frame are we on now? Are we 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, close to closing up?
We're getting very close to the end of the night, which is when the story takes a bit of a turn. So
let's get to that bit then.
Which I would go into. So, what was going through my mind was, it's all good me just opening the door and being a twat and me shutting it again. Very quickly, it's going to be the end of the night. And what happens is both the fire doors get opened. It's a double door.
Yeah.
They both get opened. They get pinned back and people just pour out of there.
Yeah.
I don't have the option to shut the door anymore, which is going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I don't want to, on a professional level, I don't want to antagonise him.
Yeah.
I don't want to be doing anything that's going to rile him up enough that he's going to do something.
Person.
So I took a step back inside and my colleague just had one of the doors open. Stevie.
Yeah, honestly.
Had one of the doors open so I wouldn't rile him up.
Yeah.
He was trying to barge past Stevie to get at me.
Stevie's a big bloke as well. Not easy to barge past.
No, big guy and been doing the job a long time as well. Still is doing the job. and was basically trying to barge past him, trying to get at me. And I saw him take a swing at Stevie. And I thought, well, again, the protective side of your team. But I'm not having that. So I opened up the other door. I just banged the door open and I just stood there. I didn't walk up to him. I didn't walk back. I just stood there. I'm here if you want me sort of thing.
Yeah.
And he took 3 swings at me. All missed. All dodged. Whatever you want to call it.
Let's not be honest. No, right, let's be honest. Now, I don't think you've done any boxing training.
No.
So I don't want people to think that you've been slipping these punches. I mean, was he like flailing them?
Oh, no, he could...
Or was you like dodging that shit like the Matrix?
I haven't done any boxing training, so I wasn't bobbing and weaving, ducking and diving. Yeah. You know, I wasn't floating like a butterfly, stinging like a bee, let's be honest. But I know how to not get punched in the face most of the time.
I know when a clenched fist is coming towards me at some pace.
I mean, I got some reactions. Do you know what I mean?
Sober.
He could throw a punch, and he knew what he was doing, but I was able just to get out of the way of them.
Yeah.
3 swings at me, and at this point, I thought, he's taking a swing at my colleague.
Yeah.
He spent 2 hours threatening to kill me. He's left and come back. I've taken 3 attempts, you know, to hit me.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do to stand there, keep hopefully dodging these punches?
I got all night.
So I give him what I would describe as a warning shot.
Yeah.
It wasn't hard. It was hard enough.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to flatten him or anything. And it was just to tell him, it's there if you want it.
Yeah.
If you want to carry on, if you want to dance let's dance, basically. And I caught him right on the nose. And he basically just, he held his nose. His eyes watered, as they do.
Crying,
probably. He just sort of stared at me and walked off. Right? So what a complete and utter waste of time that was, right?
Anti-climax. You almost want him to just... Do you want to go?
Yeah. Oh, at that point you do, genuinely.
Let's have it.
Yeah, like, at that point
I built myself up for this and then you just kind of done
that.
Which
the fact that they just fuck you off. Yeah. They just keep going on and going on and saying they're going to do this and saying they're going to do that and walking up to you and doing this and kicking the door. and then you think, go on then, let's go. You've got 2 hours of this shit. I'm just trying to do my job here. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, right.
Donk. you've wound me up that I want more than this.
Donk.
So...
Did it make that noise, by the way?
It did, yeah. Donk. So, anyway, I was like, pussy. Load of bystanders, who had no idea what the backstory was. Yeah. Oh my God, you can't do that. That dorm is just... Go away.
Yeah.
Right, you get that all the time.
Go away. Do they go away?
No, of course. Sit there fucking preaching at me like they know, like they've done the job. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, policemen come to the venue to discuss...
A couple of weeks later.
And the words that he used.
Yeah.
Just a quick chat about that idiot on the back door.
What, Stevie?
Yeah, me. So, okay, cool. Basically, I gave my version of events.
Yeah.
So, well.
Not as long as this, hopefully, this story.
No. Well, actually.
Well, what I was thinking, he's like, do I put this down on a report or should you just tell me what happened?
Is it this pen's run out again? Can I have pen three, please, Sarge? Pen three? Pen three? What's he doing in there?
Yeah. End of part one.
But this was the issue with the police. So I turned up at the police station to give a voluntary statement to assist in their inquiries.
Yeah.
When I got to the police station... Chat with the police officer before we got in. Oh, gotta just before you go in, I just need to just quickly. You are under arrest on suspicion of assault. You don't need to say anything. And I was
like looking over your shoulder, like,
who's he talking to?
He's talking to me.
Just me and him here. And I was arrested.
No way.
So I went in. I had to give them all my details. They I had to hand over my phone, which they checked there and then to see if it's stolen. Give them my wallet, which they went through. My belt. My boots and my motorcycle. No, belt, boots, and I had to empty my pockets out, which was annoying because I had a pocket full of loose mint imperials. So,
why?
At the time, I used to have a jar in the front room, and every time I'd done a food shop, I'd buy a couple of bags of mint imperials, and we'd just have this.
80 mint imperials? I know. Were those originals in the
other
pocket?
I like them, though, because they're hard on the outside, but like powdery on the inside. Like me. So. That's why I was like, yeah, he's like, empty your pockets out, take your belt off, fucking great big boots, clung, empty your pockets out. And it was just like, on extras, he's still got his dignity, do you know what I mean? And just
shimmering, blimmering, ding. Did you not say, I've got some mint imperials?
I did, of course
here.
I said it. I didn't leave it as a nice little surprise for him.
20?
20, yeah.
What, just whoosh, but all just over like, his thing. His officers going past, like, slipping up over him. Like, it turns into a comedy effect.
That was nice and there, yeek! Just on their ass.
Just like tea and coffee.
But, like, you know,
everywhere.
I didn't just lit it fly, I'd throw them around.
I would have.
I just. Two hands, just seeing any sort of.
They just like frowning, like, what the fuck?
Just with his pen, just nudging the ones that are getting away back to me. So, anyway, I had to handle this over, and I had to give a recorded interview. So, I mean, you've never been into this situation, I assume. And most, again, like I call them, normal people haven't been. You can give a voluntary statement to just assist with their inquiries, or there's a recorded interview.
Can I just ask, did you get the mint imperials back?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Did you count them? Right, I'm missing three.
I'm missing one.
Let me smell your breath.
Like Austin Powers. It's like the penis enlarger pump.
Oh, yeah.
That's not mine. And one book. Penis, my penis pump enlarger and me. Powers. By Austin Powers.
That's not mine.
Anyway, so recorded interview, which basically made me the... I never remember the word. I'm not the victim, I'm the other one.
Criminal,
basically. I felt like one.
Yeah. Perpetrator.
So I'm there, I don't think it's that either. So I'm there, like, stood in my socks with no belt on.
No mint.
No, smelly breath. And, you know, he's got the CCTV on the screen and his tape...
That's the mic.
Tape recorder next to me going the rest of it. And basically, the line of questioning is very difficult to answer because it's... You know, the way they word it's very hard.
Did you no comment anything? I feel like
no, I wanted to, though.
Did you have anybody with you? Like,
no. Look at the chance. I thought I was going to give a statement.
No comment. No, you have to give us a voluntary stuff.
Yeah, we just want your name for fuck.
Yeah, it's not line of duty now, dickhead. Just answer the question. Sorry.
So, yeah, anyway.
Was Ted in there? He's like, well, Jesus Christ, now what the hell do you think you're doing?
It's like, did you hit him? Yeah, I hit him. Like, now we're cooking on diesel.
Now we're sucking diesel. Cooking on diesel.
That's what he says, isn't it?
No. It's now we're sucking.
I think it's cooking on oil. No, sucking diesel.
Cooking on gas.
Or oil.
Not really. No, cooking on gas. Oh, sucking diesel, because you're siphoning that out, aren't you?
I don't think that's what... Anyway. So, but yeah, so the line of question was very aimed at me being the attacker, basically, the aggressor.
Yeah.
And I went through and I was like, yeah, well, here he is on the CCTV threatening me. He was again threatening me. Again. That went on for 2 hours. Yeah. Here he is throwing a punch at my colleague.
That's me taking another mint and peel that you've taken off of me. I can get them back.
There's me taking a swing at me and taking a swing at me. Anyway, and he goes, okay, so I'm just going to pause it now. This is after I'd hit him and sort of, you know, so can you explain what you've done? I was like, well, you know, I hit him with a closed fist to the face, all this sort of stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He goes, okay, that's fine. So I explained, it's a self-defense man. He's thrown 3 punches at me.
Yeah.
He goes, okay, can you explain this then? And slid, like, very dramatically, a picture towards me,
right,
which was of this guy.
I think I could have just imagined then just some, like camera that they've taken a photo of him, like a car in the back, and you're there, like, I don't know.
No, it's just like a
joking
passport.
Around with the Kray twins or something like that.
No, it's a passport photo style of him. Like, oh. And he was beat the fuck. Uh-huh. Genuinely beat the fuck. Cuts up here, all over his face and his mouth. And he went, so
podcast,
how...
up here.
Huh?
He said, cuts up here. So podcast.
Oh, sorry. Well, I'm sure they can imagine where I'm pointing.
Nope.
All right.
On
cuts
his face.
On his eyes and that face.
Eyebrows.
And he went, do you want to explain that to me? I said, explain what? I said, well, I haven't done that. He went, well, you've just admitted on tape, as we can see on the CCTV, you striking him in the face. I said, yeah.
Slash him up, did I?
Yeah, one punch. How big do you think my hands are?
Sort of cut his ear.
Like, cut his mouth on the right side and his left eye.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm like, no. Anyway, off he goes. Sorry, interview's done. He goes, I need to check with my staff sergeant if this is a self-defense case or if we need to investigate this further. I'm like, self-defense, obviously.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, don't worry. We've got a nice little ensuite number for you to wait in. I was like, right, okay. I didn't put two and two together. He meant a cell. Yeah? I was like, okay.
An ensuite.
Oh, nice little ensuite.
Shittest Airbnb I've ever been in,
oh,
Captain. What's this?
Oh, Lord, honestly. So.
I remember. Can you just quickly tell the story of when you had to take a shit?
Well,
this is
what I don't care. I don't mind. I'm just going to tell it anyway. So, anyway, I go in there. And it's just, I've got no phone, no belt, no Mint Imperials. I mean, shit. 1-star review. So, I'm in there. And I didn't know if he was going to be 2 minutes. Oi, boss, is this self-defense or is this what we're doing then?
He's like...
Or are they going to go through all the footage themselves? Yeah. I don't know.
I've got a batlock here, mate. You're going to be here a while.
Yeah, exactly. We're in Bridgewater. It's full of idiots. So, yeah. So I'm sat in this room, just waiting. Have you ever sat in waiting for a parcel just to arrive? That's all you're there for, just waiting for this parcel to arrive. Have you never been excited
Domino's.
For a delivery to come?
Domino's.
Oh, yeah. All right, there's a good example. Every single car or moped you hear, you hear, you think, oh, hang on. You ordered 2 minutes ago. Do you know what I mean? That sort of anticipation of, oh.
Dom hasn't got past the you know, bacon or quality stuff.
You know, that's
fake.
That's not even actually anything to do with it.
What?
That little cooking, oh, we're cooking it now, quality control. That's not actually what they're doing.
Of course it is, because they scan
the next bit.
Nope. Why do you know that? How's that fact or
look
theory?
Look at me. I don't think I know.
You don't bake them yourself, do you?
I saw it on TikTok. Oh, I saw it somewhere. Anyway.
Go on.
So every noise, every slight footstep I heard, I thought, oh, they're coming to let me out.
Yeah.
No, okay, maybe not.
Carry on walking.
Is horrible. Yeah, him coming towards me and then away from me. Good. Yeah. So I'm just sat, the thinnest foam... mattress thing in the world.
Yeah,
like, you know, you PE, those things you land on. It's like that.
Yeah.
Try to have a kip, no pillow. Ain't happening.
What time of day is this?
Well, this was at night time.
Oh,
I'd done this on a Saturday night. So he turned up, I don't know, on the Friday.
Oh, you went to do this before you had a shift.
I had a
you?
Shift on the door at the same venue.
There's more to
started
this than
at
just,
10.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I said, I'll come in for 8 then. Get it done and dusted and go to work.
Do you know, I thought, and I don't want to ruin it, and I think we'll have to tell the next story the next time we have this, because we're nearly an hour and a half.
Ah. Oh.
But I thought this whole part was your second
sabbatical thing.
Okay,
no.
Right.
So anyway, waiting and waiting and waiting, and I sort of thought, I need a shit. And... And the worst bit was...
He did like bubble guts, you know? Was like,
yeah. Oh. You know those ones that just sort of come on out of nowhere?
Yeah.
One of them. And the problem was because I had no distractions, I'd already written all the shit they'd written on the wall. There's no TV. I'd tried out the bed.
Lines,
crap.
Lines crossing it out. Niall was here.
All of that crap. And so there's no distraction.
There's no TV, no nothing.
No TV, no phone,
and
no nothing.
And I've seen the toilets in there, obviously on TV, and there's no lid. It's just metal bowl. Am I right? Like,
well,
cold ass.
This had like wooden strips screwed onto it.
Christ.
It's like more just dug into your ass. So anyway, this sort of, I need a shit. And because I had no distraction, all I could think about was how much I needed a shit. And I thought, well, I don't have shit here because it's horrible and it's minging and I can't be bothered. And then it's like,
I'm going to be released soon.
I thought, yeah, he's going to let me out because every time I hear footsteps, I think they're fucking coming. And then it's like, no, I need to go, right? So it's like a buzzer. It's like, footsteps. little hatch thing. Like you see on the TV, little hatch things open. Yes. I said, I need, can I have some toilet roll, please?
Room service, please.
I'll have a pint of... And I said, can I have some toilet roll, please? He went, water? I went, what? Toilet roll. He went, oh, yeah, hang on. And he left the hatch open, and I watched him walk off, took a big roll of toilet roll, just wheeling the load off. Yeah. Snatch. Just came back with a fistful of fucking toilet roll.
Shit ticket.
Shoved it in, like, the hatch thing, and I just went, thanks. Grabbed it. I looked at the toilet. Fucking hell. Sat down on this like horrible wooden thing and I noticed he hadn't walked away. He wasn't there was a hatch there. He wasn't watching, but he hung around.
Oh, he's into that, is he? He's like, go on.
Yeah, he's like, go on, push on. But like, I mean, I don't want to be too graphic here, but the kind of shits that come on pretty sudden and you need to go now, yeah? Not always the most solid of shits you've ever had in your life, are they? So I'm there scatting this metal pan. Thinking, well, this isn't really a highlight in life, is it? It's quite a low moment, if I'm honest.
The officer's outside like,
oh my God, what's he doing to himself in there? I'm just like, huh? What do you mean? What are you on about?
Mate, he's like, ah. Right now, we've managed to, fucking hell, he's killed someone in here and buried him.
Got some good news. Boom, just passes out from the smell. So anyways, I'm there. Wipe. Luckily, there was enough toilet roll. That would have been the biggest problem.
Do you know what I'd have done? I'd have just got some on your finger and then asked to give some back. And then just like scraped his hand with my shitty finger.
Yeah, that really would have helped my innocent
thanks, plea. Sarge.
And had to, I can't flush it. They have to push a button from the outside.
What, really?
Yeah, I think somebody just fucking around with it.
Yeah, just keep flushing it.
Flush. Yeah, just to whack your water bill up, flash.
Yeah.
Worst bit was I had to turn to flush it again.
No.
Yeah, and quite all.
Sarge, do you have a bog brush, please?
He said, is that all good? I said, what do you mean?
Is that all good?
He says, is that all good? I said, what do you mean? He says, is it all gone? I went, oh.
Like a child with a potty.
Nah, it ain't all gone now, mate.
Mate, he's like, for fuck's sake, he's you like, fat fuck.
He's like, all right. I'm like, honestly, I do remember thinking, this is a low point.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Really?
I was in a cell.
Yeah.
I had to ask someone for a toilet roll.
All because you dapped someone in the nose.
Who spent 2 hours threatening me and took three swings at me and a swing at my colleague. Anyway, lo and behold, they decided, oh no, we do think this needs more investigation.
How long have you been waiting in there now?
It's so hard to tell. You've got no concept of time.
Yeah, it's a light source, like a casino in Vegas.
But definitely.
Like no windows.
Yeah, exactly. No time, no frame, time frame.
Yeah.
You know, where you are, what day it is.
But you're empty. That's the main thing.
Oh, yeah. Guts. I'm hungry now. Well hungry. But definitely a long time. I mean, not hours.
Yeah.
But like at least half an hour.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound that bad. When you don't know.
You only there half an hour?
In the cell, I mean. I was in there for half an hour.
Oh, fuck. I thought you was there for like 2 hours.
No. I mean, like half hour, 45
daylight
minutes.
Daylight now. You can go home. It's like, what?
Yeah. Chip. What the fuck? There's a window. What do you mean? But like, when you don't know how long you're going to be in there.
Yeah.
Like I said, it could have been 2 minutes. Let me just go ask for Sarge. Sarge, what are we doing? Yeah? All right, no worries. Or what? I didn't know.
Right.
And like I said, every 2 minutes you think, oh, is that them going to let me out?
Yeah.
That ain't half going to make
time
watch
drag
on.
Nothing,
no, nothing at all. No, nothing. Honestly, I just stared at the second hand ticking around for something to do. comes to, you know, I lit me out and somehow decided this wasn't a self-defense case on my part. that they're going to have to investigate it further.
Right.
And I was like, huh? Like, you can't be serious. Really? Like, what are we doing here? Like, we're all adults. What's going on?
Was there not any hint of inkling that, like, even one of the sergeants being like, fucking
hell. Yeah, I didn't really see.
You've got Sergeant fucking climb the ranks here. Sorry yeah. about that, Chief.
Sergeant, do it by the books.
Yeah. I'd have let you go earlier, mate.
All I saw was the desk sergeant, who's the one who took all my Mint Imperials, and your man who interviewed me.
Yeah.
So that's the only two people I saw. So I came back to where I handed my Mint Imperials, got all of that back, and they explained, yes, we want to investigate this further. You're on bail, pending the investigation. So whilst we're investigating it, you're on bail, which basically means you can't do this, you can't do that. So let's just say, you know, you're kind of looking, likes to knock around your missus. The bail conditions pending this thing is you're not allowed anywhere near her, you're not allowed near the house, that sort of thing. And my bail conditions were I wasn't allowed to approach him, but I also wasn't allowed to work the door whilst this was going on.
Right. But you had a shift to go back to.
Well, I had a shift to go back to. So I went back.
You did this before you went to go to your regular shift. Yeah. I'll just stop on in at the cop shop.
Yeah.
Say this, sign this, and then I can go to work.
Actually saying that, no, I must have been in the cell 2 hours later, you
shitted down a pan asking him to flush it every 5 seconds.
Can you flush it again, please? I must have been in the cell longer than, actually. It must have been at least an hour, closer to 2 hours than actually thinking about it, because I went to Palace, like, no belt on, like, boots on, not done up sort of thing, pocket full of Mint Imperial still, to say, where the fucking hell have you been? I said, well, I had to go do that. And he said, get yourself in there. I went, well, this is the other problem, mate. I can't work.
What?
I was there, I was 2 hours late for a shift. It was at midnight by the time I got there. I was at the police station for 8. Supposed to start at 10. I didn't turn up to Palace until midnight. They had no idea where I was. And that was the thing, was he contacted my missus to say, is Noel left yet? Where the fuck is he? Can't get hold of him.
Yeah, I remember this.
His phone's off.
Yeah.
She went, he left ages ago.
Yeah.
Like, hours ago. He should be with you. Panic. Every single day, they were ringing around, kind of trying to contact people. They nearly sent somebody out to try and find me. They thought I'd crashed on the motorway on the way into work. I'd come off the road, and no one knew I was there. Right. Unconscious.
Because I remember one of your colleagues, or one of your mates, shall I say, he had to drive down the motorway to see if he could see any brake lights or skid marks.
I left them in the cell bog.
Yeah, basically on the road to see if you fucking browned out.
Yeah.
We did that cell.
See if there's a lot of flashing lights. Oh, this is what we found, Niall. Yeah, so everyone
rest
thought
in pieces.
Everyone thought I was dead.
Fucking hell.
And I couldn't work.
That's not very good, is it? That's not very good on behalf of the police.
Oh, God, no. And then...
Not only did it get this far, but you're also... Fucking... I'll just whack the mic then. You also didn't let any next of kin know that he might not be turning up to work.
Took my phone off me, interviewed me, stuck me in a cell.
Jesus.
Turned my phone off so like people couldn't even get hold of me. Like messages not delivering, you know, last active 2 hours ago.
Blimey.
You know, that must have been horrible.
So just to summarise.
No, to finish the story.
Just to really quickly end that story then. What was the outcome?
Outcome was 4 weeks later they put their findings, their evidence to the Crown Prosecution Service, who went, self-defense, mate, obviously. And went, oh yeah, we'll let him know.
That's what we was gonna say.
Yeah, that's what we thought. What you read to us then? Yeah, just double checking, bud.
Yeah.
Phoned me. Oh, good news. You sitting down? Yeah, CPS have decided it's self-defence, so you're all good to go back to work.
And was that the same copper that you spoke to?
Yeah, he dealt with it all the way through.
Yeah.
And even he said to me, this was the thing, was he contact me every now and again to update me. And he went, yeah, he said, if I'm honest, mate, I can't really see it going anywhere. He said, to be honest, said the other guy, he seems like a white fucking idiot. I was like, really? He went, yeah. He said, rude. He said, wants to put a complaint in because we're not doing it fast enough, kicking off. And I'm thinking, can you see where I'm coming from now?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been very.
Why I punched him?
Yeah, I've been very polite and professional throughout this whole thing.
Yeah,
even still, like the whole thing was deeply frustrating. It was costing me money. You know, I didn't know what the outcome was going to be. It was very stressful, very hard thing to deal with.
Mm.
Yet I'm still polite and professional, and you got Captain Dickhead on the other end, just being a bell end. Yeah. And I'm like, isn't this telling you what you need to know? And then yeah, that was it. As simple as that, a 2-minute phone call. Yeah, it's self-defense. So you're good to go back to work now. It's not being taken any further. Nothing goes on your record. Okay, brilliant. Thanks very much. Anything else? No, that's it. Done.
Sound.
And I, yeah, could go back to work.
Blimey. So
for 6 weeks until I got another sabbatical.
Yeah.
All right. For next time.
I think we're out of time now. Thank you very much. So I just want to ask really quickly, quick fire question, top three tips that you'd suggest anybody listening on this podcast what not to do when you go out next on your night out towards Dormans.
What not to do?
Quick fire question.
Can I do what to do?
Well, go on then. Where's this going?
Well, just
tip.
Tip. Just treat us with respect.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't demand respect, but just treat us with respect.
Yeah.
You do get treated the same way you treat us.
Yeah.
You know, because there's rules. You know, there's certain people aren't okay. Quick fire now, yeah. But people aren't allowed to leave out the front. But if you politely explain to us why, you can go out the front.
Yeah.
If you go, no, lift's out here, man. I'm going this way. You're gonna get pummeled out the other door.
Yeah.
Because you're being a prick.
Yeah.
Basically.
Okay.
What
else to do? What not to do?
Buy us drinks.
Okay. What to buy you drinks? Yeah.
Yeah. Buy us drinks. Yeah.
What, pints? Red Bull.
No. Just like Red Bull.
Fair enough. Then.
Just you offer. It's nice.
You get free. You get
yeah,
free,
but it's the.
Really?
It's the thought. Of course it is.
I didn't know that.
What not to do, actually, going back to that, don't tell us if it kicks off your help us out.
Okay. No, really?
Oh, no. All right. Really? Oh, we'll you ain't done that, have you?
No, we'll save. No, I haven't.
Oh, oh good. Oh, yeah, no, don't do that. And don't ask us how to do that, how you can do it, because you've always wanted to.
All right, okay.
Because we're busy.
Yeah.
People, and another thing don't to do.
Yeah.
Don't ever assume all we do is just stand there.
Okay.
Because we don't.
All right.
We are so in tune with that room, where everyone is and what everyone's doing and every single person's body language.
Yeah.
We are on the ball.
And you can put out fires.
And we know which fire extinguisher to use.
Niall, appreciate it. Thank you very much for lending this equipment to me. And for giving that very insight depth. Yeah. That.
Yeah, good.
All right, it's getting late in the night. All right.
You're not in bed by now, aren't you? Fucking assholes.
All right, appreciate it. Tune in
my
next
pleasure.
Time. I don't know who I'm going to have on next time. I don't know when it's going to
be. Probably me
happen.
Again.
Probably going to be Niall again. All right, take care.
Bye.